upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor-in-chief and founder of Technocracy News and Trends. We have some interesting stories today for sure. Welcome to Snitch City. Maybe you've never heard of Snitch City yet, but it's probably going to be your city pretty soon. In this headline, Ring Camera has partnered with 400 police forces around the country. This is a disturbing story because Amazon, which is a purely technocrat corporation, they own the company called Ring, which makes Ring cameras that replace your doorbell with a camera and a doorbell, as well as other cameras that can sit in other places on your home. And they're all wireless, of course. They connect to the internet so that you can install an app on your smartphone to view what's being seen by your Ring camera. It mostly monitors things outside your house, but they can also be put inside your house as well. But it's the outside-the-house views that are concerning police departments around the country. So Amazon, through its subsidiary Ring, has sold millions of these fake doorbells around the country. And in the meantime, developed a system where police departments could tie into the Ring cameras to view footage of what happened in the neighborhood. And so anybody that participates or cooperates with the scheme, their videos will be fed to the police to supposedly solve crimes or other nefarious activities. And so without any fanfare, all of a sudden, Amazon is bringing to life a police state across the country. And Amazon is not a government organization. So the article starts out, the doorbell camera company Ring has quietly forged video sharing partnerships with more than 400 police forces across the United States, granting them access to homeowners' camera footage and a powerful role in what the company calls America's New Neighborhood Watch. Like I said, welcome to Snitch City. The partnerships let police automatically request the video recorded in a homeowner's camera within specific time and area, helping officers see footage from the company's millions of internet-connected cameras installed nationwide. Officers don't receive ongoing or live video access, it says, and homeowners can decline the requests, which are sent via emails that thank them for, quote, making your neighborhood a safer place, close quote. A number of police deals, which has not previously been reported, will likely fuel broader questions about privacy, surveillance, and the expanding reach of tech giants and local police. The rapid growth of the program, which launched last spring, surprised some civil liberties advocates who believed fewer than 300 agencies had signed on. Ring is owned by Amazon, which bought the firm last year for more than $800 million, financial filings show. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos also owns the Washington Post. Ring officials and law enforcement partners portray the vast camera network as an irrepressible shield for American neighborhoods, saying it can assist police investigations and protect homes from criminals, intruders, and thieves. Eric Kuhn, the general manager of Neighbors, that's the app, the Ring crime-focused companion app, says, "The mission has always been making the neighborhood safer. We've had a lot of success in terms of deterring crime and solving crimes that would otherwise not be solved as quickly. But legal experts and privacy advocates have voiced alarm over the company's eyes everywhere ambitions and increasingly close relationship with police, saying the program could threaten civil liberties, turn residents into informants, and subject innocent people, including those who Ring users have flagged as suspicious, to greater surveillance and potential risk. If the police demanded every citizen put a camera at their door and give officers access to it, we might all recoil, said Andrew Guthrie Ferguson, a law professor and author of The Rise of Big Data Policing. By tapping into a perceived need for more self-surveillance and by playing on consumer fears about crime and security, he added, Ring has found a clever workaround for the development of a wholly new surveillance network without the kind of scrutiny that would happen if it was coming from the police or government. And therein lies the problem. This did not come through the police or through the government. It came through Amazon's Ring. And so very slick salesmen that work for Ring went around to police departments to showcase the app, to set up the system for them to approach homeowners that had a Ring camera or that wanted to install a Ring camera and say, we've got a deal for you. You can sign up with our Neighborhood Watch program and become your local neighborhood snitch. Now, the problem with this, even though I use the term kind of derogatorily, a snitch, the problem with this is everybody that walks by your house on the street or drives by in a car is not a criminal. And yet, your camera is catching all those images along with somebody that might be walking up to your front door with a crowbar to break in. So the citizens across America have all of a sudden become associated with the police agencies that serve them. They have no training. They have no knowledge in particular of the law or constitutional responsibility, but they simply just think, oh, this is a cool thing to do. Let's just do this. And it opens the door for potential abuse of innocent citizens that happen to be walking down the street. The second story is perhaps even more disturbing. Newspeak AI, and I say Newspeak, was featured in the book 1984, where news stories and other types of literature were simply rewritten to fit the government's narrative. And this headline is, Totally Fake News Could Destroy the Internet. I wrote in my comments, OpenAI was founded in 2015 to promote and develop artificial intelligence that would benefit humanity as a whole. Instead, they built the most dangerous AI conceivable that could destroy the internet and manipulate the minds of every person on Earth. OpenAI was originally funded in part by Elon Musk, a consummate technocrat whose grandfather was head of Technocracy Incorporated in Canada during the 1930s and 1940s. So this article states, an artificial intelligence system that generates realistic stories, poems, and articles has been updated, with some claiming it is almost as good as a human writer. The text generator, built by research firm OpenAI, was originally considered, quote, too dangerous to make public because of the potential for abuse. But now, a new, more powerful version of the system that could be used to create fake news or abusive spam on social media has been released. The BBC, that's British Broadcasting Corporation, along with some AI experts, decided to try it out. The model, called GPT-2, was trained on a dataset of 8 million web pages and is able to adapt to the style and content of the initial text given to it. It can finish a Shakespeare poem as well as write articles and epithets. At the time, the firm said, quote, due to our concerns about malicious applications of the technology, we are not releasing the trained model as an experiment in responsible disclosure. We are instead releasing a much smaller model for researchers to experiment with. As a result, the released version has far fewer parameters, phrases, and sentences than used during training. This month, OpenAI decided to expand the parameters, offering a much broader database of training data. Tech news site The Next Web said of the update, this one works almost good enough to use as a general artificial intelligence for text generation. Almost, close quote. Article author Tristan Green added, I'm terrified of GPT-2 because it represents the kind of technology that evil humans are going to use to manipulate the population and in my opinion, makes it more dangerous than any gun. The BBC decided to test the system by inputting the first few sentences of a recent story, appropriately one about AI. We began the first sentence of the real story with this. Chinese search engine Sogou is creating artificial intelligence lookalikes to read popular novels and authors' voices. Here's what the text generator came up with to complete it. This is a quote. According to the researchers, this method of reading is not just the brainchild of Amazon Kindle users. Users of Android devices are also a notable market for fake reading. There are several theories to explain this. Firstly, the device in the user's hand is different from the tablet or computer they are reading on. Secondly, the device used to access the internet might be tampered with in some way. A third reason is the user may just copy and paste content directly into their virtual characters. However, another explanation is that the device does not have voice recognition capabilities at all. If this is the case, then voice recognition is more advanced than Google's translation engine. As such, these users are tricked into thinking that they are reading from a real author. The book is made to sound authentic as soon as they try and read. Noel Sharkey, a professor of computer science at the University of Sheffield, concluded his own test on the generator and was not too impressed. If the software worked as intended by OpenAI, it would be a very useful tool for easily generating fake news and clickbait spam. Fortunately, in its present form, it generates incoherent and ridiculous text with little relation to the input headlines, he said. He added, I tested the software with numerous headlines and got laughable results. For example, for Turkeys Hate Christmas, I got that, quote, Turkey is the only nation in the world that doesn't celebrate Christmas, close quote, and a number of unrelated sentences. For the sentence, Boris Johnson loves the backstop, it produced incoherent gibberish with some stuff about AI and sport. When I input the statement that Boris Johnson hates the backstop, I got a more coherent story that appears to have been pulled off a Google search. The import of the story is that OpenAI is apparently driving towards creating a perfected story generator. They pulled back the first iteration of their software some time ago and claimed that it was too dangerous to release to the public. The fact that they then turned around and kept working on it and made an even more sophisticated version tells you that the first explanation was bogus. Perhaps they could just not get away with it at the time. But now it's on the verge of being released to the general public, and OpenAI is continuing to develop the program. Go figure. If this program does get into the wild, and it most certainly will because everything is hackable and everything is discoverable, then the internet as we know it today could be utterly destroyed. Now, that doesn't mean that it wouldn't exist. It's just that as we know it today, there would be no way to determine between fake news and real news. And if companies that specialize in fake news got a hold of such a tool, they could absolutely obliterate any semblance of sanity on the internet. We can hope that OpenAI simply hits the delete button and destroys the software once and for all, and don't go back there again. The last story has to do with good old China. We've talked many times in the pages of Technocracy News and Trends about China's social credit scoring system. It is nefarious. It is draconian. It is dystopian. It is a pure expression of technocracy and social engineering. And there's a lot to be said about social credit scores that China is using to manipulate and control its population. But here's the kicker. China is now extending social credit scoring to corporations. That's right. Businesses will now be subject to social credit scoring, the outcome of which, if they don't like you or they do like you, you will receive benefits or you'll have benefits taken away. Now, you might say at first glance, well, good luck with Chinese companies. Who cares about them anyway? If they have a dispute with the government, that's between them and the government. But let me tell you, how many foreign corporations, including many based in the United States, operate in China? Those corporations will also come under the umbrella of social credit scoring, and they will be treated on equal footing with companies that are native to China. I wrote in this article, as a technocracy, China must apply social engineering to everything, everyone, everywhere, and that includes corporations as well. This makes perfect sense, by the way, for them. Corporate punishment for perceived bad behavior could be devastating to Western firms. When technocrats in the U.S. pick up on this idea, firms who don't measure up on sustainable development, for instance, could be forced to comply by threats of being shunned out of business. For instance, permits could be denied or revoked, access to critical services could be shut off, etc. This article states, foreign businesses in China are ill-prepared for the tough sanctions and constant surveillance demanded by a social credit system to be rolled out this year, a European business group warned Wednesday. Under the new system for ranking businesses, both foreign and domestic companies will be required to install surveillance cameras in their premises and share the data with the government. They will also be rated on their tax record and compliance with a range of existing laws, including customs or environmental regulations. Those who violate rules will be placed in blacklists and subjected to immediate and severe punishments, the EU Chamber of Commerce in China said in a report published Wednesday. The sanctions are not limited to penalties, but also include more frequent inspections, customs delays, not getting subsidies or tax rebates, and public shaming, the report said. The corporate social credit system could mean life or death for individual companies, said Jord Wutke, president of the EU Chamber. He continued, the overwhelming absence of preparation by the European business community is deeply concerning. Each company operating in China is already being assessed against at least 300 different specific rules, ranging from emission levels to workplace safety and complaints against their products on e-commerce platforms, the government documents showed. Beijing plans to combine all these different ratings into a single database by the end of the year, said the head of the Berlin-based consultancy Synalytics that co-authored the report. A single score could mean that a company is penalized across China for a slip by one of its regional branches. Companies will also be wrapped for working with suppliers or partners with bad social credit. The system will also involve the unprecedented demand that all businesses have to install surveillance cameras in their premises and transfer huge amounts of data and footage to government officials. Dozens of companies have raised concerns about the sheer volume and depth of data that needs to be shared with the government, said Conrad. I cannot encourage you enough to read this story two or three times to let it sink in on what's happening in China. This is exactly the dystopian picture that Technocracy News has been warning about for years now, and China is perfecting it. They're making an art form out of it. So a foreign company that operates within China, just to set the record on this again, will be forced to install internal cameras in its own offices and factories and plants, etc., to transmit visual data back to the government for analysis and calculating their social credit score. And if their score is not acceptable, they will be punished and discredited and shamed out of business. The only other option will be for them to comply. If they want to stay in the game, they're going to have to do exactly what the government tells them to do and never step out of line left or right. And only then can they get top-of-game type privileges within the country to operate. This is inconceivable. But I will say again, when technocrats in the U.S. pick up on this idea, and they will, firms who don't measure up on things like sustainable development, for instance, or carbon emissions, or other things related to UN policies, they could be forced to comply by threats of being shunned out of business, and they'll have no recourse. They simply have to either comply or suffer the consequences. This is the very dystopia that America does not want to experience. I don't know how many ways I can say this. This kind of lunacy, which is technocracy, needs to stop and needs to be rejected in America wholly and completely. We have no in-between on this. We can't say, well, a little bit of this would be okay. No, it's not. A little bit activates the proverbial slippery slope that will eventually fall into complete social engineering for all companies and all civilians alike. And who will run this new system? Well, it's run by technocrats. In China, it's run totally by technocrats. This is social engineering on steroids, and those are the same kind of people that will run the system in America, and that's exactly the same kind of people who are creating the system right now as we speak. The previous article that we discussed about Newspeak AI is a perfect example of that. So is the first story about Snitch City, where Ring has partnered with over 400 police forces. This whole network is being set up around the country with alarming speed. And it seems like every time we turn around, some even more egregious headline appears to indicate that it's accelerating, not decelerating. We don't want to end up like China. The companies that operate in China are going to have to figure out whether they want to stay there or not. If I was a company in China, I'd be packing my bags, saying I'm out of here. I'll exist. I'll do business somewhere else. Maybe I'll get back on my feet in another country. Maybe not, but I wouldn't stay in China. Well, I'm happy to tell you, if you have listened to the end of this broadcast, that my book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, is now available as an audiobook. That's right, an audiobook. People have asked for 3 years now, can you do this in an audiobook? And there were a number of reasons that I said, no, I can't do it in an audiobook. And one was expense of hiring an actor to actually read the book. Well, guess what? After gaining experience with podcasting and with these daily broadcasts that I share from Technocracy News and Trends, I gained enough experience and technique that I was able to record the book myself in my own voice. And I did. And now it's available on Amazon. It's available on Audible and also on iTunes. You take your choice. If you go to Amazon and you purchase it there, there is a free app that you can listen to the book. Or if you join Audible, you can simply buy it there and you can listen to it through the Audible app. Or if you are a subscriber to iTunes, you can also just look the book up there. And for those of you who are listening from outside the United States, I've already checked in Australia and Europe and Great Britain, and the audiobook exists there already on the Amazon.com website that is customized for your country. So you also can get a copy. And I hope that you do. I hope that you're able to get a copy of the audiobook and sit down with the actual book in your lap and read along in the book as I narrate the chapters. This really, really lets everything sink in. Well, I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. See you next time.